But amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Nikolai, am I on this lapel here? Am I good there? Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. And we've been going through this series on soul winning helps and been talking about difficulties in soul winning. And you'll notice there on the back of your bulletin, the difficulty we're dealing with tonight is our adversary. And of course, we know who our adversary is, and we know that that is the devil himself. And we're going to talk about exactly what he tries to do to us, how he tries to knock us off course, if you will. And that is a difficulty. And here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, the Bible says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, as we read that passage there, you may look at that passage and then look at the title tonight, looking at our adversary, and you may say, what does that have to do with our adversary? Well, if you look at those verses there, you're going to see that the Lord was with his disciples. He was teaching them. And a very important truth that has to do with our topic tonight is given to us in verse 18 when it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And in the end of verse 20, he says, "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Understand, we face an adversary. We're going to read some verses about that here in just a little while, but we face an adversary. Our adversary is very real. But understand, we serve a God who is bigger than any adversary that we could ever face. We serve a God who has never lost a battle, never will lose a battle, because he is all-powerful, he is omniscient, he knows everything, he knows the end from the beginning, and his power is with us as believers. So as we go into this world, as we face this adversary, understand, no matter how much our flesh may feel defeated, if we go in the power and the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into the message here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, I do pray that you would be with us tonight, that you would help us to learn, Lord, exactly what the tactics of the devil are. And Lord, I pray that you would guard us against these things. And Lord, that we would stand for truth in this world. Lord, I pray that you would help us to become more fervent soul winners, Lord, more fervent witnesses for you. I thank you for all that you're doing. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the difficulties in soul winning, we've talked about a few things. We talked about ourselves. We've talked about the loss. We talked about the message and difficulties that come with that. But tonight we're going to talk about the difficulty of our adversary. And I want to give a brief summary, if you will, of a couple things by way of introduction. And understand what I'm about to say. It is in no way an in-depth study of angelology or Satanology or anything like that. It would take a long time to go through that study. And Lord willing, someday we'll do that. But that's a study for another time. But we know that the Bible is God's word. Therefore, we know that the Bible says that God created everything. God was never created. God always has been. God always will be. But everything was created by God. We know that to be true. Well, when it comes to the angels in heaven, they were all created by God. They had specific jobs and duties. And some were to praise the Lord, such as cherubims and seraphims. And some were messenger angels. You think of Gabriel. Of course, anytime you think of a message being delivered by an angel, you You'll think of Gabriel coming to the Virgin Mary, of course, coming up into December here with Christmas time. I'm sure we'll be talking about that that account in Scripture. It's a wonderful account in Scripture, but he was a messenger angel. So you have the ones, the cherubims and seraphims that were made to praise the Lord, and they had their duties there, and different ones surrounding the throne, and you can study about that. You've got the messenger angels. You also have one that is known as Michael the Archangel, and there's a study in and of his job by itself, but he was the one that the Bible says contended with the devil over the body of Moses. You may say, what did that look like? I have no idea, but I hope when we get to heaven, we get to see a little snapshot of what that looked like. Amen. What a battle that must have been there. But I say all that to say this. They all had specific jobs. They all had purposes that God laid out for them. But then we read of this one named Lucifer. Of course, we know this one by Satan. And as you read through the Bible, you can read a little bit in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and read some things about Lucifer. But we read here of one who was in heaven and one who was created by God. And as you study him, you will find that he was over the music in heaven, if you will. He was the one that God put over that. And what you're going to find is, as you continue to study what was happening at that time, Lucifer himself, rather than realizing God is almighty, I am a created being, therefore there's no way I can overthrow the Creator. He said, I will be like the Most High God. Well, then, of course, without any hesitation and without any effort required, God just kind of flicks him out of heaven, amen? He says, if that's the way you're going to be, you and, oh, by the way, one third of the angels that were agreeing with you, they're gone as well. And some were, of course, chained in darkness forever. And you can read about that in the Scriptures. And then you find that as you read through the Bible, you're going to find that Satan, of course, in the book of Job, it talks about how he was walking to and fro in the earth. He's an adversary. We'll read a little bit about that here in just a moment, but I wanted to build that basis, if you will, so we can see our adversary is not some mystical being. Our adversary is not something that or someone that that people have just made up as times went on. Well, if we convince people that it's just this guy in this little red suit with a pitchfork, well, then it won't seem as bad. No, that's not who Satan is at all. Can I tell you this? He is a real adversary. He's not just some little guy with a pitchfork on one shoulder while an angel's on another shoulder. That's not it at all. We know what the Bible says about Lucifer, but since that happened, since he got kicked out of heaven and that snapshot that we just went through there, since that time, Satan has made it his number one job to work against anything that God desires to do on this earth. Anything God wants to do, Satan opposes it. We've all been there where maybe it was a coworker or something like that, that it seemed like no matter what you were trying to do, they were against it. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter how great of an idea it was. This person was just always against that. Well, that's how Satan is. You may say, well, how could anybody be against souls getting saved? Well, Satan's bitter and Satan's against God. God likes to see souls saved. The Bible says that when a soul trusts Christ as Savior, all heaven rejoices. Well, when heaven rejoices, Satan's throwing a pity party somewhere. He's getting mad because he doesn't want to see people get saved. That's the adversary that we are up against. You know, Satan has always been against God's plan. He was against it yesterday. He's against it today. And he's going to be against it tomorrow as well. Our adversary, the devil, and the evil spirits that accompany him, if you will, they are an adversary. So why is this an adversary? What is it that he tries to do in our life? What is it that we need to be on guard for here? If that's a difficulty in soul winning, if it's something that's going to slow us down or has the possibility of causing us to just throw in the towel, well, we need to know what he's doing. We need to know what's in his book of tricks, if you will. First of all, notice this, our adversary, he tries to discourage us. He tries to discourage us. You know, I don't think that I've ever, and I never will if everyone's honest, I've never heard someone say, well, I've just lived a victorious Christian life and I've never one time gotten discouraged. No, because discouragement comes. It does. And Satan will try to discourage you. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 1 through 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. Second Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 13. The Bible says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness, for if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is he made sorry by me. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Now notice these next few verses. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such is man in this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you, that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. Notice verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now notice there, in everything that Satan, or in everything that God does, Satan opposes. Remember that. Notice here in verse 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And he goes on there praising God for what he's done. But understand here, he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about forgiving one another, and how they were forgiving people, and he can forgive people, and all of those things. And he said there, after he talks about forgiveness, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Everything that we try to accomplish for the Lord, Satan will try to keep us from doing that. You know what the number one motivator is in the world? It always has been. The number one motivator is encouragement. You encourage someone along the way, guess what? They're going to do better. It is statistically proven that a teacher that is an encouragement to the class gets better grades than a teacher that is a discouragement to the class. Encouragement is a great motivator. You know what the easiest way to keep someone from doing something? Discourage them. You want to get someone going on the right path? You use encouragement. You want to get someone to stop doing something? Well, you use discouragement. Isn't it true that at sports games, there's always some trash talk going on between teams? And sometimes it may be true what they're saying. It may be downright rude, but it may be true. Some other things, it may not be true. Some may just have a little bit of truth. But what are they trying to do? They're trying to discourage the ones that they're against. They're trying to just get a little bit of discouragement in there. Someone goes up to the plate and they're getting ready to swing the bat. What are they trying to do? They're trying to say some words that'll remind them of last time they struck out. Reminding them of the last time they were up against this pitcher and what happened. You see, they're trying to put seeds of discouragement in there. Isn't that the way that Satan works in the life of a believer as well? We're going through this life. We're striving to please the Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, every single time I walk up to a door, every single time I walk up there, Satan is in my ear every time. They don't want to hear this. They're going to ask a question you don't know the answer to. They probably don't have time for you. Oh, they're probably not home. Just leave a track and walk away. He's there. Also, he reminds me of times that I didn't have the answer. And times at which someone was so close to trusting Christ as their Savior yet rejected him. What's he doing? He's trying to discourage. He tries to discourage us. You see, Satan knows exactly what the Bible says. You know, Satan knows the scriptures better than most believers do. He knows what the Bible says. Satan knows what is written. Satan knows that a person cannot lose their salvation. So what's he going to try to do instead? He's going to try to discourage the people of God because he knows that God has commanded us as believers to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He knows that if we follow the Bible, we're following the Lord. If we do what God has called us to do, we're going to see souls saved. We're going to see people get baptized. We're going to see people join the church. We're going to see Christ build his church. And Satan is against all of that. He knows he can't rob us of our eternal security. So what's he going to do? He's going to try to keep us from taking anybody with us to heaven. That's what he's going to do. And he's there to try to discourage us. Over the last couple of years, the Lord has been blessing our soul winning efforts. It's been amazing. This year alone, we've had over 60 first time guests just this year. It's an amazing thing. The Lord's just doing a wonderful work. It's what's encouraging. Just a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling Brother Nikolai this last night. A couple of weeks ago, I saw Brother Nikolai and his mom, Miss Veta, walk in, and as they came in the door, I saw them come in and kind of do this number, and then they had to walk all the way up to the third pew and sit down because everything else was taken. I said, "Praise the Lord." I was smiling as they were walking in. This past Sunday, it was the same way. People coming in, and it's no longer just choose a seat. No, they're walking in saying, "Where's the seat at?" Amen. It's an amazing thing. But you know what Satan will try to do? He'll try to discourage us. He will. You know, Satan doesn't like seeing the house of God full. He doesn't. Back in 2020, when we were there at Capitol, I was running the sound system, and of course, we went to live stream only for about 6 weeks, I guess it was. We went in on Resurrection Sunday. It was me and Pastor Moore and Brother Cordry and Brother Justin Caro. We were the only four cars in the parking lot on Resurrection Sunday. I can remember going out, and me and Pastor Moore were looking at the parking lot and taking pictures of the parking lot and thinking to ourselves, Resurrection Sunday, and not a soul is here. It was strange. We were not rejoicing in that fact, but somebody was rejoicing in that fact. Satan was, our adversary. He loved that people weren't going to church. He loved it. He loved that people were getting comfortable sitting behind a screen and not being in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. He enjoyed that. You know, the truth of the matter is this: Satan is going to be against anything that God wants us to do. You know, it's an amazing thing to watch the Lord work in people's hearts and people invite others to church. We have more people faithfully soul winning than we ever have, and we see tremendous growth. And because of that, we are encouraged. So Satan's going to be trying to discourage us. And we're looking at all these things that are encouragements and how the Lord is blessing our efforts and all of that. You may be saying, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought we were talking about discouragement tonight. Well, we are. But the truth of the matter is this: all of these great things that are going on, we should be encouraged in that. But can I warn us this evening that when God is encouraging, I can guarantee Satan's working double time at discouraging. He is. When people are soul winning, you're going to find there's others who refuse to go. When people get excited about special services, someone else is complaining about being too busy to come. When the church bus is continually reaching into the homes of these kids in the community, someone else is asking, why do we keep running that bus? When the church is growing and more people are coming in under the sound of the preaching of God's word, and when we're excited about it, other people get upset about it for one reason or another. I can guarantee you this: when God is working, Satan is working overtime, because Satan wants us to be discouraged. Church, the Lord is blessing, and we can either choose to focus on that or focus on negativity that Satan's going to put in our mind. Lord, help us. We can either glory in the God of heaven, or we can be discouraged by mankind and the devil. If we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that though God is working in a great way, every time we go to hand out a tract, or flesh says, don't do that. When we're prodded by the Holy Spirit to be a witness, Satan says, well, they don't have time to listen. When our circumstances change and we're dealing with an inconvenience, too often we're focused on what's wrong, and we neglect the fact that God allowed that person or that situation to happen so that we would be sitting next to the person at that time. Me and Miss Mary were talking about that just before the service tonight. She didn't know what I was preaching on, amen. But God can take us out of our comfort zone, and God can move people around and all of those types of things. And it's an amazing thing. All we have to do to stay encouraged is do what God told us to do. And He's going to encourage us. Me and Brother Delaney say multiple times when we go out soul winning and all of that, we will say oftentimes, it's amazing how every time we go, something happens that encourages us. Something. It's amazing. Sometimes it's laughing at one another, but either way, we're encouraged, amen? We have a great time, but the truth of the matter is this: our adversary will try to discourage you. It's one of his tactics, and he's good at it. You know, Satan's good at his job. I will never give Satan more credit than that, but he is. He's good at his job. And can I tell you this? He's faithful at his job. You know, Satan realizes that there's not much time left. He knows that. And because of that, he's busier than ever. Why is it that our adversary is busier than we are? Lord, help us. We as believers have dropped the ball for many, many years. Satan's continued to discourage, but yet believers have not been witnessing the way that we should be. Lord, help us. So first of all, our adversary, he tries to discourage us. I want us to notice secondly here, he tries to defeat us. He tries to defeat us. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You know, these verses here over this point and the next point, it's hard to read those verses as a born-again believer and not do a hallelujah dance, amen? Think about what God does for us. You know, Satan tries to defeat us. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says this: for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What we read there in verse 2 is we read of some battles going on, do we not? We read of some enemies that are coming after us. They're not flesh and blood. They're principalities. They're powers. They're rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. In that passage that we just read, it has to do with our enemy and our adversary. And what we find is that Satan's intent is not to just cause some discouragement. No, he has a greater plan than that. He wants to bring us as believers to the point of defeat. That's where he wants to bring us. It's amazing how many people are spiritually defeated. You know, Satan understands he can't take our eternity from us. He knows that's impossible. But he can do an awfully good job at making us feel defeated, feeling beat down. You know, there's an awful lot of people who struggle with their salvation because of these four words: I don't feel saved. What is that? It's discouragement and defeat from Satan, from our adversary. That's what it is. Well, the truth is, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved. Because when you trusted Christ, you didn't base your salvation on how you felt. You based it on the shed blood of Calvary. You placed your faith in the crucified and risen and coming again, Jesus Christ. So don't allow Satan to defeat you because of how you feel. Keep on keeping on. Every single day our feelings change. Every day. Multiple times a day, but praise the Lord that God never changes and His word never changes. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. What that means for us is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." If forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, that means that truth is true forever. That means no matter what we go through, the Lord's with us. No matter how much Satan tries to discourage us, the Lord's there to encourage us. No matter how much Satan tries to defeat us, the Lord is there to give us the victory over that. But how do we stay encouraged? How do we get the victory in all of that? We must stay in the Word of God. We must do that. The Lord told us that Satan is real. He did not leave us in the dark. He told us that he would attack. He told us that Satan would work through people and through their fleshly desires. The Lord told us that we're in a battle, and he told us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. He told us so that we would realize it doesn't matter how strong we are. It doesn't matter what influence we have. It doesn't matter how physically strong or spiritually strong we may feel. We cannot resist the devil without the power of God. Can't do it. If you try to stay encouraged without being in the Word of God, you will be discouraged. If you try to stay victorious without trusting in the truth of God's word, you will be defeated. You will be. We must follow the Lord. So he tries to discourage us. He tries to defeat us. And then notice lastly here, notice how to combat the adversary. How to combat. This is where we put the boxing gloves on, amen? You know, we have this adversary here. God did not just tell us that he exists. He didn't just tell us the way that he works. He didn't just tell us the things that he's going to try to do to us. He didn't just say, well, he's going to come and he's going to try to discourage you and he's going to try to make you feel defeated, but just persevere to the end, and as long as you make it there, then I'll take you to heaven. That's not the God that we serve. God told us those things are going to happen. He said, if you've trusted in me, you're safe and secure in my hand. No man can pluck you out of my hand. He says, but I'm going to show you exactly what you can do to combat this adversary. I'm going to show you exactly what you need to do to live the victorious Christian life. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, reading down through verse 20. Notice the Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then notice verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak or to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now notice there, the Apostle Paul told this church at Ephesus here, as he's writing this letter, the letter of Ephesians here, he's writing it to them, and he's telling them there is an adversary that's out there. You're not fighting against flesh and blood, though there was persecution at that at that time, and there was ones that were coming against them, some even in their own families and some in friends and ones like that that were coming against them and persecuting them. He did not tell them that that's what they had to worry about. No, he says, but we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But then, what's he do? He doesn't just say, so run for your lives or hold on till Jesus comes. No, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. If you want to combat the adversary, if you want to stand against Satan, understand you got to do it in God's power. But we cannot stand against Satan if we are unwilling to put on the whole armor of God. Anything we decide, I'm not putting that on today. Understand, we're leaving ourselves vulnerable. Wouldn't it be foolish for somebody in our military or in our police force? Of course, they've got their bulletproof vest and their helmets and things like that when they're going into certain situations and all of those things. They wear Kevlar and a lot of just great things to keep them safe. Wouldn't it be foolish for them to be running into a battle and they have time to put on all their gear and they say, no, I'll just go in jeans and a t-shirt today. I think I'll be okay. It's not going to work out for them. But yet, we tend to leave our house many times without ever picking up the sword of the Spirit, without ever communing in the Word of God, without having our feet shod as the Bible says here, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being ready to preach the gospel without that shield of faith, without that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness. All of these things, they come from communing with God. Church, we're in a battle every day. This is our adversary, Satan himself, and he will be firing darts at us. We need to be ready. We cannot allow ourselves to be so focused on the fact that our adversary is real that we convince ourselves to become paralyzed. But we must understand that he is real. And we must understand that we can have the victory as we follow the Lord. Look at the book of 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 11. Understand, this is a command that's given here. It's not a suggestion. You want to live the victorious Christian life? These are things we need to do. Notice verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You know, we are commanded to stand in the power of God. We as believers, we're commanded to do that. We are told to be watching. We are told to be on the lookout. Can I help us tonight? Many times the tool that Satan will use to discourage us and make us feel defeated many times is another believer. Many times. Someone that claims to have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but yet they're always negative. They're always looking at the bad side of things. Someone who's always complaining. Satan uses them very often because Satan knows that sometimes all we need is just a little nudge to fall into that negativity ourselves, to fall into that discouragement ourselves. You know, if I was standing here and someone was standing there on the floor, it would take a lot more pull from me to get them up to this platform than it would for them to pull me off of this platform. It's easier to pull somebody down than it is to lift somebody up. Many times we are being pulled down by ones who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ, but yet they're living defeated lives. Negative thoughts and all of those things. The truth of the matter is this, when we lend our ear to someone's negative spirit, it's easy to get dragged down. Let's have the armor of God on. Let's be sober. Let's be vigilant. Let's be on the lookout because we have an adversary who is going to try to convince us that soul winning doesn't work. He's going to try to convince us that nobody gets saved anymore. He's going to try to convince us that nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. He's going to try to convince us that look at everything that they're teaching them in schools. And I mean, you're just taking the bus and picking them up on Sunday morning. You've only got them for 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. The school system has all the other time. What effect do you think you're going to have? By the grace of God, we'll have an eternal effect. Amen. But that's what Satan's going to try to do in our minds. He's going to try to discourage us. We must have the whole armor of God on. Don't allow the adversary to cause you to take your eye off of the prize. When you think that the work is too hard or you think that the persecution is too strong, when you feel as though the adversary is overtaking you, I want you to turn to this verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And I want us to look at this verse. For my own self, I do a lot of underlining in my Bible. And sometimes that's a great thing and sometimes not so much. As I'm preaching, my eye goes off on a rabbit trail sometimes and the notes that I have there. But this is a good verse to have underlined because of the adversary that we face. There in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Notice, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater. But Satan tries to convince us that he's greater. Satan is even okay with us convincing ourselves that we're greater. He's fine with that. Anything that takes the glory off of God. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do not be surprised when Satan attacks. We must remember that every attempt to turn man from his sin to the Savior is a direct assault, if you will, on Satan and all that he's trying to do. We should expect resistance. Sometimes that resistance is overwhelming, but we must understand our adversary. He's already been defeated. He's not fighting a winning battle. He's already defeated. He felt the deadly blow by the cross of Calvary. We're on the winning side if you've trusted Christ. Let's live like it. We must not allow our adversary to make us feel defeated. Turn to one last passage over in the book of Romans and we'll be done here this evening. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. The Bible says this here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, we read there that we wrestle not against flesh and blood and went through a whole list. And oftentimes, we reference that list when we talk about the evil that's in our world and we talk about all of the crazy things that are going on. And we'll oftentimes say, well, this is happening because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that is true. But Lord, help us to see that this is a verse that we should live by more than that verse. That none of those things can separate us from the love of God. We're safe in God's hand. Though there's an adversary, though it's a difficulty in soul winning, though Satan wants nothing more than for us to stop doing what God has told us to do. That's what Satan wants. But we can be victorious and we can overcome these difficulties, but only through the power